Don't raise your hand, but who has ever gotten a ticket? Maybe most of us have. Hopefully all of us have not. But all of you that have had a driver's license know what it means to be pulled over and get a ticket. On August 10th, 85. Thank you. August 10th, 1985 was my 18th birthday. And I was driving luggage van for the First Baptist Church of Reseda. And I was following a massive diesel bus full of kids headed to camp. And those of you that know me know that I do not have a good sense of direction. I cannot find camp unless I am following the bus. Well, the bus decided that it did not want to follow the speed limit. So I had to keep up with the bus. And there was a highway patrolman that happened by that did not appreciate that. And I got my first speeding ticket on my 18th birthday. And the police officer actually wished me a happy birthday when he handed me the license back. That was nice of him. I have actually gotten a ticket, a moving violation, in my own driveway, which I deserved. Now, you can come up after church and find out the details of that one if you'd like. But the problem with a ticket is once you get a ticket, you have to do something about it. You have committed a crime, and you have to do something about the ticket. The ticket has to be paid. Or you have to go to traffic school. Or you have to go to court. The problem is, when you get a ticket, you have to take care of it. You and I have a much bigger problem than driving. We have a much bigger problem than getting a ticket. You and I have sinned against God. And something has to be done. We are guilty before a holy God. And just like when you get a ticket, you have to pay it. Something has to be done. In the Old Testament, God provided this wonderful system. He gave the people priests. And the job of the priest was to offer an animal sacrifice for their sins. When the people sinned, it had to be taken care of. It had to be paid for. And the priest would offer an animal sacrifice, and God would accept that as payment for the sin. The problem was this. It was a temporary repair. It was a temporary repair. Those priests had a problem. They sinned themselves. And those priests had another problem. Because of their sin, they kept dying. And they were not able to truly, truly fix the problem. It was a temporary fix. Those of you that have been at Trinity Baptist Church for a long time, and especially those of you who have been to youth group, any time between now and, say, the 70s, know that we have the absolute world's master of temporary bus repair in our midst. I will never forget one beach camp when the bus broke down. We pulled into some parking lot, and Tom told me to send all the kids off to restaurants to eat while he fixed the bus. All the kids came back, and Tom started the bus, and we drove off. When we got to camp, he sent Fawn to the store to buy twist ties. Fawn came back with the twist ties, and Tom opened up the hood and installed the twist ties. Now, what was so amazing to me was the twist ties were the more permanent repair. What did he do in the parking lot 2 hours earlier? It was quite obviously a temporary fix. When the priest in the Old Testament offered animal sacrifices for people's sins, it was a temporary fix. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. We need a permanent fix. And for a permanent fix, we need a better priest. And the good news I'm going to tell you today is we have one. Will you please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, and stand with me in honor of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 7. We're just going to look at three verses today. Hebrews 7:26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would help you understand the gospel? Will you pray right now for the people around you that God would help them understand the gospel? And now would you please pray briefly for me that God would help me to explain the gospel? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Everyone in the world has sinned. We are all guilty before God. You and I need a priest to provide a sacrifice for our sins. We have to have someone who will provide a sacrifice for our sins. Look at verse 26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Number one in your notes, Trinity Baptist Church, Christ is our high priest. Christ is our high priest. In order to have a relationship with God, you need a priest to take care of your sin. And Christ is our high priest. We have to have a priest to offer a sacrifice for our sins, and Christ is our high priest. Hebrews 2:17, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he, that is Jesus, might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Number two in your notes, Christ is our suitable high priest. He is our suitable high priest. When you need an electrician, when you need a mechanic, when you need especially a babysitter or someone to take care of your elderly parents, you are looking for a qualified individual. Wouldn't you agree? You are looking for a qualified individual. When my mom was very, very sick, we were very concerned that she get the right person in her home to take care of her. We were very, very concerned that she be placed in the right place at the end of her life, because my mom is very precious to me, and I wouldn't allow just anyone. I need a qualified individual. Well, you need someone to provide a sacrifice for your sins. You need someone to bring you to God. Wouldn't you agree with me that this is the most important role that anyone will ever play in your life? Not just anyone will do. You need someone who's qualified. And I'm here to tell you, Trinity Baptist Church, that there is only one man qualified to do so. And that man is Jesus. He is the suitable high priest. What makes him qualified? This is what I am trying to teach you today. What qualifies Jesus to be your high priest? Number 3 in your notes. This is the most important part of the sermon right here. Number 3 in your notes. Christ is our suitable or qualified high priest because he is a sinless high priest. Christ is a suitable high priest because he is a sinless high priest. Look at verse 26, talking about Jesus. In fact, back up to verse 23. Hebrews 7:23. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save those forever who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you see verse 25? Do you want to draw near to God? Do you want to have a relationship with God? You must draw near to God through someone. You can't just go barging in on your own. You and I are too sinful. You cannot go to God on your own without any priest and say, let's have a relationship. You're too sinful. You need a priest. And there's only one man that can do it. Only one. And that is Jesus. Look at verse 26, and it tells you why. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, Jesus Christ, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. When I went off to college, there were several things that I had to do on my own. And one of them was laundry. Now, I was raised in a very old-fashioned home, and until I left for college, I don't think I could tell you what a washing machine looked like. My mom did my laundry. I went off to college, and fortunately, my mom did not go with me. She simply said, here you are. Now you have to figure this out. And all of you know that for a brand new person doing laundry, what generally will happen? You take all your clothes, you stuff them in the thing all at once, you put in the soap or whatever it is, and you swirl it around and you come out, and what has happened? They're all different colors. It's all stained. You can't put in your whites and your reds and your browns and your blacks and your blues all in one laundry and expect them to come out looking the way they're supposed to. Things get stained. That's the word, stained, right? You and I, listen carefully, you and I are stained with sin. We simply are. You are stained with sin. And so am I. And every single pastor or priest that stands in the pulpit, no matter what church you go to, you can go to a Baptist church, you can go to a Catholic church, you can go to a synagogue, you can go to any church, anyone that stands in this pulpit that claims to be a pastor or a priest is also stained with sin. I'm a sinner just like you. I can't bring you to God. I can't save you. Because I need to be saved myself. There's only one person that can save you. Because there's only one person who is sinless. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is completely and totally unstained by sin. He has no sin at all. Scripture is very clear on this. Look behind me on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, that is the Father, made him, that is the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter 2:21 and 22. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3, 4, and 5. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he, that is Jesus, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. When the sun shines into a room, you see the sun shining right there, the sun shines into a room, it lights the room. And no matter how dark the room is, the sun shines in and the room is light. No matter how dark it is. I've spent the night in the desert, and maybe some of you have too, and it is pitch, pitch, pitch dark. And I went out in the desert to pray one time, and I spent the night in a shack with no electricity. And when the sun went down, I could not see my hand in front of my face. It was absolute, totally dark. But when that sun came up, it came in through the cracks on the walls and the door and the window, and there was light in the room. And no matter how dark the darkness is, it has no effect on the light whatsoever. Jesus Christ is the light. And he came into this world, and he lived in this sinful world. He was born into this sinful world, and he lived with sinners, and he ate with sinners, and he lived with sinners, and he was tempted in every single temptation you and I ever face. He faced every single temptation, yet he never sinned. You cannot affect the light of the sun, no matter how dark it gets. Christ is completely unstained by sin. He never sinned. Because of this qualification, he is perfectly qualified to enter the presence of God as our priest. Listen carefully. If Jesus is not sinless, he cannot save you. But because he is, he can. Why is that? Our perfect high priest, where is he right now? Where is Jesus right now? If you're born again, his spirit lives in your heart. But the physical Jesus right now is up in heaven as our high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 behind me on the screen. And he, that is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. Remember the sunlight? He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he inherited a more excellent name than they. Jesus enjoys direct, unhindered, perfect access to God. And that enables him to be our high priest. He is a suitable high priest because he is a sinless high priest. Look at verse 26 again with me, please. Hebrews 7, 26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. If you're at the beach and you go out a little far and you swim out a little too far and you get caught in a riptide and you're getting pulled out and you're screaming for the lifeguard, what is the one thing you don't want to see? A shark. Thank you, Gail. As true as that is, that's not quite where I'm going. The one thing you don't want to see is the lifeguard next to you. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, because he can't save you, right? A lifeguard who's drowning can't save you because he needs to be saved himself. And that is why every other priest that has ever lived cannot save you, because they have to be saved also. That's what verse 27 is saying. Jesus, look at it, verse 27, Jesus, that's the who does not need daily, like those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this Jesus did once for all when he offered up himself. The book of Leviticus explains the Old Testament sacrificial system. It tells us in great detail about all of the sacrifices that the priests had to do. And there was one beautiful day called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when atonement was made for the sins of all the people once a year. Leviticus chapter 16 explains that Day of Atonement, and look at this really interesting detail in Leviticus 16, verse 6, behind me on the screen. Then Aaron, the high priest, shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for who? Himself. Himself. That he may make atonement for who? Himself. The high priest of the Old Testament had to bring two offerings. They had to bring an offering for their own sin, and then they had to bring an offering for the people. Christ does not have that same obligation because he never sinned. He brings one offering. And that takes care of everything. Hebrews 9, 11, and 12 behind me on the screen. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all. Say it with me. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You have Hebrews 7 open. Your Bible is open to Hebrews 7 right now. Turn one page to Hebrews 9, which is right where we were, right there. Look at verse 23. Hebrews 9, 23. It won't be on the screen, so you'll need to read it in your Bible. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. When Israel built the tabernacle or the tent in the desert, all of those things that were there are copies. The copies of the things in heaven can be cleansed with the animal sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands. You see, when Moses and the Israelites built the temple, they built the holy place, they built the Holy of Holies, and it was a temple made with hands, a copy. Christ didn't enter that one. Christ went into the real one. Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Trinity Baptist Church, do you understand this awesome truth? Christ has gone into the very presence of God on your behalf. Verse 25, nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood not his own. You see, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is an annual event. The high priest has to keep going. He has to keep doing it again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because it doesn't truly solve the problem. Verse 26, I'm sorry, 25 again. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. Doesn't that make sense? If Christ's death doesn't completely take care of sin, then more sacrifices need to follow. But none does. Verse 26, but now, once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Do you eagerly await Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Have you put your trust in him? He is in heaven now, representing all those who have put their faith and trust in him, but he is coming back to get us. Look at Hebrews 10 behind me on the screen. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Here's the verse. If you're looking for a memory verse, we have got Good News Club. You're all my Good News Club. Here's your memory verse, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. What was that offering? Himself. And that's number 5 in your notes. Christ offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. 1 Peter 2:24, behind me on the screen. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Ephesians 5, chapter 2, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Because Jesus is sinless, he doesn't need to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. Christ offers one sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. And this sacrifice only needs to be offered once. A perfect priest offers a perfect sacrifice. A perfect priest offers a perfect sacrifice. One sacrifice takes care of all of our sins for all time. Since he offered the perfect sacrifice, he never needs to offer another one again. The other priests offer their sacrifices over and over again because their sacrifice is incomplete and imperfect. Christ offers one. It is a completed sacrifice. Listen to me, Trinity Baptist Church. There never needs to be another payment for your sin ever made, ever. It's done. Number 6. Christ's sacrifice for us is sufficient, complete, final, and perfect. So my question to you is, have you been born again? Are you here today and you think, I'm good enough to have a relationship with God? I will just do it on my own. You will fail. It will not work. Are you looking to a man to get you to God? Are you looking to me? Are you looking to your pastor? Are you looking to your priest? It will not work, because whoever that man is, he needs to be saved too. Or have you looked to Jesus? Has there been a point in your life when you said, I admit that I'm a sinner, I am guilty, and I need Jesus to save me? Has there been that time in your life? If there has, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion right now. If you've been born again, if Christ Jesus has come into your heart and changed your life, and you know it, we're going to partake of the bread and of the juice right now. The bread symbolizes the body of Christ broken for you, the one sacrifice that makes perfect forever those who believe. The blood, the juice, symbolizes the blood of Christ shed for us, the one sacrifice that takes care of all of our sins. If you've been born again, please come and partake with me.